Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Does my voice sound any different from about 90 miles away today, Evan? Does it sound any different here?
I've noticed that before, like when you were in Rochester. Back when the PGA Championship was here, you sounded different. I hear it a little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Like, the processing in every microphone is a little bit different, right, from any studio you go into. And whether I'm in our Amherst studios, Studio Capaccio, here in Rochester, I have a device on my phone, actually, where I can be kind of live anywhere in the world, to be quite honest with you. And I use that quite often when I'm out and about and at training camp or whatever and doing hits from down in the field. And it's always going to sound a little bit different. So if it does today, it's because I am doing today's Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show from our lovely Odyssey Rochester studios. It's Commercial Street here in downtown Rochester. It's where it's located. And yes, if you're driving by, if you're in Rochester, hi. Might see you driving down the interstate here or downtown. There's a lot of a lot of construction here since the last time I've been here. They're working on a few different things. Looks like a walkway, bridge area. They're doing some construction here. So a little bit different than the last time I was here. But yeah, the last time I did the show here was, I think, right that week. It was the PGA Championship a couple of years ago. That was in May. I had some business in Rochester I had to get to, and I said, you know what? Let's kind of figure out a good day to do this. I said, hey, how about we figured out today, June 5th, I contacted the great people here in Rochester at Odyssey Rochester and said, hey, I got some business in Rochester. What if I came out and did a show out from your studios, and then I could just kind of take care of everything throughout the day there? And they're like, absolutely, let's do it. So today is the day, and we're here in Rochester. So you can obviously hear from this studio, the Sports Bar, with Mike Danger and Gene Battaglia every single day. And that's opposite, you know, Chopin the Bulldog here on WGR Sports Radio 550 when you're out here. And they have me on their show sometimes, and today I'm going to return the favor. And Gene's going to join me today at, what time's Gene on? Gene is on at 11, because at 10:30 a.m. today, going to have Alex Brasky. Alex Brasky is going to join me today from Bill's Digest and Batavia Daily. And I figured, hey, he's closer out here in Batavia. Gene's out here in Rochester. We might as well make it a day kind of people and guests out here that are a little bit closer to where I am physically today to kind of keep with that theme, but also talk Buffalo Bills football, talk a little Rochester, Rochester Americans from Gene's perspective as well. And I have a couple of things I want to talk about as it relates to the Bills and Rochester and training camp and what's coming up over the next, you know, several, well, I guess about a month and a half from now when the team opens up training camp. We don't know the day they're going to be out here in Rochester. We don't know the day yet. I'm going to guess it might be like July 23rd because last year the first camp day was July 24th, and I think this year everything is about a day earlier on the calendar. So I'm going to guess it's right around there. So if you're planning on coming out to training camp, it's probably going to be July 23rd for the first practice. I would think, you know, it could be, it's going to be right around there, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there. We'll get that scheduled sometime from the Buffalo Bills sometime soon, I'm sure. Also today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, going to have Alexa Ross join me. And Alexa used to work here in Rochester, and she was out covering the Bills in Buffalo, but she has since, for the last few years now, been at the CBS affiliate in Indianapolis. And of course, tonight, it is game one of the NBA Finals between the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So how about that? We have a Rochester theme today. We have Alexa, who covered the Bills from out here in Rochester, who's now out in Indiana. She'll be coming aboard to talk a little bit NBA Finals. I was thinking on the drive out here, actually, about training camp. And I've been making this drive since, I guess, 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. I've been the sideline guy for the Bills since 14, but before that, still coming out to get to training camp before that, a couple years before that. And I mean, it's been, for me, you know, over a decade of driving to St. John Fisher for training camp. It doesn't seem like that. It goes quickly kind of every year. It kind of sneaks up on you. It's there. Bam. You go to training camp. Then it's done in like 3-4 weeks and you're back home. And I know the Bills don't go as often, as long, I should say, now and then they used to, but they still go. And there was a time period where we thought maybe the Bills weren't going to go to St. John Fisher, but they still are out there and out here, I should say. It's not too far from where I'm standing right now. And they still believe in going to Rochester. They still believe in training camp, St. John Fisher, and all of the kind of bonding that goes along with it, all the different things that go along with getting out to training camp, getting out to the dorms. And of course, this year, it's going to be a lot different in one sense with Hard Knocks around, right? There's going to be cameras everywhere. Somebody said to me the other day and asked me, and I've actually got this question a few times, when does Hard Knocks start filming? My answer is basically the day that guys arrive for training camp. Anytime I've ever watched Hard Knocks, sometimes they actually have footage of guys checking into their dorms. Okay, this guy's bringing that, this guy's bringing that, whatever. We used to do that in the local media. We used to be on site and would actually have video of players checking into dorms. We don't do that anymore. It's evolved a little bit. The Bills don't give the media that access that day, which is fine. We don't have any access until the first day that they're on the field. But it used to be literally like, who's bringing what into their dorm? And we'd have stories about that and interview guys and what it's going to be like for training camp. That doesn't happen as much anymore. I'm wondering, and I'm guessing it will happen, but I'm wondering how much of that will be on Hard Knocks, guys actually checking into their dorms. Then from there, it's going to be a lot of cameras around. Hard Knocks is going to be a big part of training camp. And of course, that's going to be a separate story in itself. And then you have what actually happens on the field at training camp. And in many years past, and pretty much every year, you're going to have what we call what? Training camp battles. I'll have an article at WGR550.com saying here's a good training camp battle, or we'll go through position battles and some that we're all going to be looking for. And every year, you're going to have a few of those. In some years, you have more than others. Some, it's more about the quality of the training camp battle, meaning what position it is. I guess the quality of position, quarterback, right? Think of the battles we've had in the past, even before I got here. I did go to a training camp one time. I was living in Florida, came up and went to a training camp when Trent Edwards was a quarterback for the Bills and J.P. Lossman, that time period. But we're far from there. But think about that now. Trent Edwards, J.P. Lossman, quarterback battle. You have, of course, E.J. Manuel, Kyle Orton, you had Tyrod Taylor, EJ Manuel. You know, you'll go back to the players the Bills had over the last, and the quarterbacks, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, whoever it is, battling out for the quarterback position, and it became a bigger deal because it was the quarterback position, right? Then you've had, of course, wide receiver battles, and a lot of times that's more down the depth chart. How about who's going to be the starting running back? You don't have as much of that now. A lot of times it's even who's going to be the starting offensive line. The Bills know that. The Bills know who their starting offensive line is. I mean, barring anything really unforeseen, obviously an injury could derail this, but if someone just completely drops off in their play, you know it's going to be Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, and David Edwards, right? I mean, I guess Alec Anderson could challenge David Edwards for a job. I could see that. Not necessarily on the radar as a, oh my God, camp battle. It would just happen to be more of a, oh, that's a bit of a surprise. What about linebacker? I mean, Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano are starting. What do you really have? You have Joe Andreessen battling with Bill Inspector, probably. Dorian Williams is going to be the backup will linebacker to Matt Milano. Why wouldn't he be? I do think you have a little intrigue at a couple of positions, though. Certainly wide receiver at the bottom of the depth chart. And then safety and corner. And of course, because of the suspensions that are looming for both Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi on the defensive line, you have some question about what's going to happen at those positions. So what I'd like to do today is ask you, is there a specific position that you are really interested in as far as a training camp battle is concerned? It doesn't have to be for the starting position. It could be for the backup role. It could be for the bottom of the roster, the last guy that makes the team because he's in a certain position. 803-0550 is the number to call. 803-0550 here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Cabaccio with you. Good to be with you out in Rochester today at our Fan Rochester Studios, 95.7 The Fan. Appreciate them having me, allowing me to crash their studios today out in Rochester. But I'd like to get your calls as we think about training camp that's coming out here back to Rochester near the end of July and what training camp battles you're thinking ahead to right now. Because I think you have to work to get there a little bit. I think the easy one, the easiest one to get to is probably cornerback two. And I say that because the Bills go out and they sign and they re-sign, bring back veteran Tre'Davious White, veteran Dane Jackson. And on top of that, they use their first round pick, their most premium offseason asset, on Max Hairston, Maxwell, from Kentucky. And I've had discussions and debates with people who've asked me and have said, and made the statement, boy, if Tre'Davious White wins that job, that's not good for the Bills. You might agree with that. I don't know. I think that's because there's a perception of Tre'Davious White obviously not being what he used to be when he was an all-pro, but that he's this player that's in clear decline. He just can't really play that much anymore. And on top of that, you couple that with, oh my God, if he beats out a first-round pick, what does that say about the first-round pick? You just went through this with Kyrie Elam. I don't think it has to be that way. Now, in a perfect world, in the way of the football world and fandom world that I think that Bills fans would like to look at it, and if you what you want to see, I would think you'd want to see Maxwell Hairston win that job. Now, you might love Tre'Davious White as a player and say, oh my God, no, I love Trey, and I think he can play, and that's fine. That's a sentimental pick. But football-wise, I think you'd want Max Hairston to win that job and to like show that he earned it, not because Tre'Davious White can't do it or Dane Jackson can't do it. I wouldn't totally discount Dane Jackson. I don't think he'll win the job. But if you really want to feel good about the Buffalo Bills at corner now and in the future, I think the answer is you want Max Hairston to win the cornerback two job. Because if he were to win the job, that would A, give you faith that the Bills have a first-round corner who could actually walk in and start on day one that they planned on, unlike Kyrie Elam, although he was beaten out by another rookie, by the way, Christian Benford. We all know that. But B, I think it would give you a lot more comfort over the next 4 years in the near future at the position, especially considering you just signed Christian Benford to a four-year extension. He's under contract for five more years. You could literally think about those two playing with each other over the next 4 years. But it doesn't have to be an indictment on Max Hairston if Tre'Davious White wins the job. It could be because Tre'Davious White just had a really good camp, and he's a veteran, and he knows what he knows what he's seeing, what's out there, and you're a little more comfortable with him versus the first-round rookie who you might like, but he's not quite ready. I am interested in also the depth of that particular position. And again, 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. Corner, safety, defensive end, wide receiver, defensive tackle, whatever you want. There's also an under-the-radar one that we don't talk about much I want to get to here in a second. Depth at the position. I mean, does Jane... I actually went through yesterday, earlier this week, I did a preliminary, my own little 53-man roster projection as of right now, kind of what I think that could happen. Now, it's kind of a funky thing to do when you have Hoyt and Ogunjobi on that are be suspended, but I don't think it impacts anything other than defensive line with their suspensions when it comes to the 53. To me, they'll just be a one-for-one at defensive end and at defensive tackle. They'll keep an extra defensive end. Hoyt goes on the suspended list. They'll keep an extra defensive tackle. Ogunjobi goes on the suspended list. So I think that's pretty easy. Corner, though, I don't think it's as easy because I think Dane Jackson could be in trouble even at a veteran coming in. They know the system because I think they still like Jamarcus Ingram a lot. I could see Dane Jackson and Jamarcus Ingram fighting for a job with each other. There's no way Jordan Hancock's not making the team. Dorian Strong, boy, I like the way this kid looked. I like Dorian Strong a lot. I think he looks like an NFL corner. I think he is a guy that they feel he can be. He can play in all situations, physically, like man-to-man and zone. Doesn't mean right away, but if you release him, remember, anybody you release that was just drafted, they're subject to waivers and any team can claim them. They're gone. They don't have to be on your team. That happened to Alex Austin a couple of years ago. Bills released Alex Austin. Bam, he was claimed by the Patriots. He wound up actually intercepting Josh Allen later that year or maybe the next year. All right, let's head to the phone lines. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I did not want to steal Anthony's thunder. I started with corner, and Anthony has another position he wants to talk about from Long Island. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, Sal. So I'm very interested in safety. Just like real curious what's the plan in terms of the development of Cole Bishop and then having Cam Lewis, who's been a vet, and just other guys that they have back there, and Taylor Rapp, who's undersized but yet has made so many big plays for us. Where do you think the Bills are going to end up going in terms of that?
Let me ask you a question. Let's do this. Let's run through this exercise, me and you right now. Okay, Anthony, here we go. We got right now on the roster, you have six listed safeties. Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop, Damar Hamlin, Cam Lewis, Derek Forrest, and Wandé Owens. If I said two of those guys can't be around, you and I would both agree Wandé Owens, he's an undrafted free agent, he's probably it. Who doesn't make the team, one guy doesn't make the team out of these five? Rapp, Bishop, Hamlin, Lewis, or Forrest?
Maybe, I don't know, that Hamlin's got, he's probably the most, least athletic, but he's been in the system, maybe Forrest, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I ask you, because it's tough. I would lean maybe Hamlin doesn't. He's back in a minimum deal. I don't know if he had the offers out there that he thought he would get. Maybe you can get him back on the practice squad. I think they signed Derek Forrest to be a really good special teams contributor for them and fill in as a backup safety when needed. So I think Hamlin in that situation could be the odd man out.
Okay. It looks like it's going to be a fun battle. The secondary in general, like what you were mentioning before with the corners as well, who's that depth piece, who's going to be that guy in case there's an injury or somebody's just not performing. I'm really curious. Also, maybe with the shift in culture, bringing in the new corner coach from New England, if they're going to change up their style of play.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm interested in that as well. Thanks a lot for the call, Anthony. I appreciate it. As far as the starter at safety, look, I've been saying this since last season ended, and I'll continue to say it, which is it is Cole Bishop's job to lose, basically. Like, they're going to give him every opportunity to win it. And anybody who thought that the Bills, like, had any thought about moving on from Taylor Rapp or not starting, that should be squashed. It should have been squashed a long time ago. I said it on draft night when there was all this talk about Malachi Starks being drafted by the Bills. It just never made sense to me. Never made sense why all these people thought the Bills were going to draft a safety. You have to learn. Look, it. There's a big difference. I try to always have people understand this. There is a huge difference between if you as a fan or me in the media or anybody thinks somebody's better for the job that currently has it. That's one part of it. But what you try to do is, and what you have to put your mind to is, what do the Bills think and how do they operate? You have to learn how your team operates. And you and I can sit there and go, oh yeah, Malachi Starks, he could come in and start for the Bills right away. To me, it was never an option that the Bills were going to, A, not have Taylor Rapp as a starter after being in this system for a couple of years, starting last year, and then the way they talked about him and how he sets the secondary, that's bam, he's starting, he's in. Was never a question about that. Whether you agree it should be or not, just wasn't. And then Cole Bishop, they drafted in the second round last year. They were not going to just suddenly draft a first-round safety after having him in the second round last year, missing all that time at training camp, and then he winds up actually playing a bit of a role towards the end of the season because of injuries. So when you talk about, and people talk about, anybody at safety, like the top of the safety depth chart, it's Rapp and Bishop. Now, if Bishop isn't able to step up and be that guy they think, then you are looking at DeMar Hamlin again or Derek Forrest. I say DeMar Hamlin could be the odd man out. He literally could go from odd man out to possible starter, right? I mean, is Derek Forrest starting? If Cole Bishop can't do it, I don't know. But it's Cole Bishop's job to lose to me. That's how I look at it. I think that's how the Bills look at it, and it's going to shake out. Dave in Buffalo is up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What's up, Dave?
Thanks for taking my call. Yep. Overall, I would say that the question of who has what starting spot really doesn't matter for the most part. I think this is really going to be a battle about storytelling. There's the Hard Knocks is interesting because HBO is going to tell a story. And usually the way they tell the story is battles between players and things like that. I think Brandon Bean has another story that he wants to tell. And the story is basically there is no I in team. It's not about the individual. It's all about how we work together as a team. So it's easy on offense because they are come with the approach of everybody eats. So who starts and who doesn't start is going to be secondary to the fact that everyone is going to get their feel and need to be satisfied in what they're doing. On the defensive side, we have the rotation that's going to be a big part of it. Who's a starter on the defensive line or not, it doesn't so much matter as the rotation that the coach has put in place on particular plays so that everybody has a role to play. At safety is another interesting thing because the question of, you know, what role does Taron Johnson play? Quite frankly, he could be a linebacker the way that he tackles, and he's all over the field and things they do. And then for the other safety positions, they have the choice between DeMar Hamlin, between Rapp, and between Cole Bishop coming on. Tons of different choices and things that go on. So I think they're going to be telling a story about there is no I in team, and who starts and who doesn't start really is going to make a big difference.
Thanks, Dave. I agree with the storytelling part of what the Bills want to portray on Hard Knocks, right? I mean, that's what they're about. We know what they're about. They're going to make sure, and they do have editorial control over a lot of the stuff that happens. That's what happens now with these shows, these features. And I do think, I agree with you, that they're going to say, hey, this is a team we want to focus on. Sure, there's going to be some interesting stories that they're going to focus on individually, but the Bills, as an organization, want to show that they're a team, they're about team, they're about a good culture, and all of that. Thanks for the call, Dave. I want to touch on a couple of things, and I'll hang up with you and get to them. Because, A, first of all, let me say, we know what role Taron Johnson is playing. He is the starting nickel. Yes, he is like a third linebacker in alignment because most teams play three linebackers, maybe not most teams all the time, but the Bills don't. They play two linebackers. They play a nickel corner who essentially is like a third linebacker. He's not built like a linebacker. He does play like one. I agree with you. But we know what role Taron Johnson is. Taron Johnson is the starting nickel cornerback for the Buffalo Bills. When you say, Dave, it's not that interesting necessarily for, or however you phrased it, because everybody eats and we, you know, it's not about who's starting. That's right. But even though they are going back with the everybody eats mantra, and we talked with Joe Brady about that when he met with the media on Tuesday, it's not about the starters, whether you're talking about wide receiver or even defensive line, because they do have a rotation. But let's talk about wide receiver here, because it's everybody eats and that's where that goes to. For them, the battle is not the starting job. The battle is who's actually going to be eating at the restaurant, who's going to be left outside trying to get in. That's what the battle is, right? I mean, you're going to have, there's going to be a capacity. You know, the sign on the door says seating capacity. It's going to be like five. Seating capacity, five, wide receiver. After five, you're outside waiting for a table to open. And that table only opens, A, unfortunately, if someone gets injured, or B, if they really see that they have to make a change or a move, or maybe C, I guess, you can be elevated to, you know, the bar area there, right? You can be elevated and go, hey, you can come in and sit at the bar area here and wait until a table opens for you, because that's like an elevation every week. That's the everybody eats at wide receiver. That's not the starter, I agree. They're not looking at, you know, who's starting at wide receiver. They're really looking at, to me, and we are all looking at kind of what happens beyond Shakir Coleman-Palmer, and I would say even Samuel, but Elijah Moore right there. Like, I think as of right now, from what I've seen at practice and Elijah Moore, what I see in the contracts, how this team is structured, it would be an upset at this point, very early, if it was not Shakir Coleman-Palmer, Samuel, and Moore on the team. I don't think Chenault's on there. He'd have to really wow you as a kick returner. And you say you just can't live without him doing it. But there's only so many spots. And then Tyrell Shavers, of course, it just seems like he's right there and he's the odd man out all the time, like Isaiah Hodgins was for a couple of years, right? Thanks a lot for the call, Dave. All right, Alex Brasky is going to join me next. Alex from Batavia Daily, from Bills Digest. We'll talk about some of the camp battles he's looking forward to, what he's seen so far from the Buffalo Bills through OTAs and what the media has been able to watch. Thanks for joining me here today, live from the Sports Bar and the Fan Studios in Rochester, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on Buffalo's WGR Sports Radio 550.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I think when you reflect back, you always reflect back on how you got to find ways to be better. Like, we didn't do what we wanted to do, and that falls on me. I have to do a better job. And so I don't think like that. I'm so excited when our guys have success. I loved seeing Josh, you know, win MVP. I love seeing our guys in the Pro Bowl. I love seeing our guys rewarded with contracts. That's them, you know, and they get rewarded for it. I have to continue to find ways for us to get better. That's not just focusing on the things that we did bad. We have to find out what we did well last year and making sure that, you know, when teams are studying us and figuring us out, that we're continuing to evolve from that standpoint as well.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. He met with the media on Tuesday. No more media this week for Bills OTAs. The Bills are back on the field today. No media. They had a community day yesterday. I went to like 12 different schools. I saw the posts on social media. Very, very cool. See those kids jumping for joy and seeing some of the players get in, you know, get involved with them. Very, very cool. But they will be back on the field today. No media. Media back next week for all of mandatory minicamp, which is next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And of course, a lot of eyes will be on James Cook and whether or not, well, maybe eyes will be on him. Maybe not. We'll see if James Cook actually shows up. Here to talk more about it is our buddy Alex Brasky. He is the editor at Bills Digest and the sports editor at Batavia Daily. And Alex, as you know, I'm out here in Rochester today. I know you are the sports editor at Batavia Daily. It's not quite Rochester. It's kind of in between Buffalo and Rochester. How often do you get over here to this side, to Rochester?
Yeah, hey, Phil. Thanks for having me. Nice to see you in the Gene Battaglia studios
today. Yeah.
Those are some really nice digs there, but yeah, I get to Rochester quite a lot. I cover Section 5 sports as part of my duties at the Batavia Daily News. So a lot of that is based in Rochester, particularly now this time of year when it comes to sectionals. So I get out to Rochester quite often. Me and Gene hang out every once in a while, and it's really a great place to be. There's great golf courses, great food, and great nightlife as well in Rochester. It's really an underrated part of the state. There are some questionable parts of Rochester, as I'm sure you read about in the newspapers, but the really nice parts of Rochester really let that city shine.
Yeah, I agree about the golf. We know that when we're out here at training camp, no doubt. And of course, St. John Fisher does it right, right? I mean, we're talking about training camp today, but just we're around the corner from the Bills coming back here. It's been announced they'll be back here. I mean, my assumption is they'll be back here again next year, you know, as the new stadium is kind of just opening. And then we'll see where it goes. But I think the Bills have really liked this relationship out here at St. John Fisher. I mean, I don't know what the future necessarily holds. It just seems like this is really conducive to what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. And even when, Alex, we had heard rumblings that maybe it wouldn't happen, they kept telling us, no, we love it, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, and they keep doing it.
And I think the big thing is when your quarterback, your MVP quarterback for that matter, embraces it the way that Josh Allen has over the years, every time you ask him about St. John Fisher, he speaks glowingly about the camp staff, the school staff there, just every part of training camp at St. John Fisher. So I think when the head of the snake embraces it the way that Josh Allen does, it becomes a much easier sell for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean for the rest of the players. I'm sure a lot of players would much rather be in the friendly confines of their own homes, not be an hour and a half away from Buffalo. But I think there's a lot to be gained from the kind of close setting that you have at St. John Fisher. Obviously, the players staying in the dorms, the walk to the practice field every day, the routine that you get into over those 2-3 weeks. So I think that there's a lot to be gained, and I think that they've seen the benefits from the atmosphere there at St. John Fisher. And it's also a great thing for the fans. I think it would be one thing to have the fans inside the stadium, but to have the ability to kind of peruse around the grounds there at St. John Fisher, do some of the games that they have set up near the entrance there, the gift shop and everything like that. I think it's a great atmosphere overall for the players as well as the fans. And with the new stadium, it seems like they may bring training camp back there in the future, but I'd love to see it stay in Rochester.
Speaking of training camp, on the field obviously is where we'll be focused once they get there. Hard Knocks cameras will be there, but also players will be fighting for jobs. I just asked my listeners what they're looking forward to as far as camp battles. There's not a ton on this roster, a mostly intact roster, but where do your eyes go when you're talking about maybe some jobs up in the air when we get to St. John Fisher?
Yeah, I think the easy one is obviously the cornerback two position. And my podcast last night, I incessantly referred to it as the cornerback one position. I don't know why I had that on my mind. But with Max Harrison and Tre'Davious White particularly and Dane Jackson, those three fighting for that job. But I think beyond that, I'm really interested to see the wide receiver position beyond Khalil Shakir. Can Keon Coleman really lock down that wide receiver two role? Can Joshua Palmer fit in seamlessly to this unit? And then what does Curtis Samuel have to offer in his second year, along with Elijah Moore in his first year with the team, those two speed guys? Can the Bills finally implement a player with that skill set quickly? Something that I think that they failed to do over the years. You saw them bring in Mac Hollins, and he really ingratiated himself really well. But I think that was a different circumstance and somewhat out of necessity when you lost Keon Coleman. So I think Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore, those two could really be the keys to unlocking this passing game. And that's not to say that it had any sign of struggle last year. He averaged over 30 points per game. You have Josh Allen win the MVP. I think their everybody-eats mentality did very well for them a season ago. But I think come playoff time against teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, you need players like Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore to win down the field. And if they're able to implement those players a little bit better than, let's say, a Deonte Hardy a few years ago, even a Trent Sherfield, I think that could really take this passing game to the next level come playoff time, and particularly against those teams like the Chiefs.
Have a tweeter tweets in. Josh says, hey, listening to your show while I'm working. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate that. And make sure you get back to work, pal. But listen, he said, not able to call in, but the odd man out will be defensive end A.J. Epenesa. He's had flashes, but never really developed too much. That's an area I want to ask you about. Obviously, with Hoyt's suspension, they're going to wind up keeping an extra guy, but there still might be another spot there where you just don't know. You have Russo, Bosa, Epenesa, Javon Solomon, Landon Jackson, Michael Hoyt comes back. There's not enough room for everybody there, Alex.
Yeah, but I think with the changeover at that position, I think you need to rely on A.J. Epenesa's consistency. He has not been that top of the food chain player for the Bills on the edge, certainly not a game wrecker out there. I think Greg Rousseau is your closest thing to a game wrecker on the edge, but Epenesa has been a good soldier for this team. He's provided some quality play, and you don't know what you're going to get from Joey Bosa. He's already on the mend, and then you mention all those players trying to fit in really their first year, all of them in new roles, even a Javon Solomon, his second year with the team. If he's able to latch on, he'd be in an increased role this year. So I think you need to rely on the consistency of A.J. Epenesa at the very least as a fallback plan. If Bosa doesn't work out, and then you don't have Landon Jackson or somebody else really take the bull by the horns in that competition for a depth spot. So I like what I've seen from Michael Hoyt and Landon Jackson, albeit it is during OTAs. They're not wearing pads, so it is tough to take much away from the defensive offensive line. But if you just look at their measurables and the way that they run around during drills, these are two players with athletic profiles, two players that I think can win off the edge for this team and maybe provide a little bit more than Epenesa in that regard, but that remains to be seen. Hoyt out for the first six games, Landon Jackson, a rookie in this league. So I think they're going to have to work into those roles, and I think I heard you mention it on Always Game Day in Buffalo. I've also been impressed by Javon Solomon, even going back to last year. He just seems to be a player that nothing really phases him. He may not have the size and the strength that some of his teammates have, but I really like his technique on the edge, and I think if he's able to kind of find his niche this year, he could be a player that could also give this group a boost.
What do you think happens at wide receiver? We just talked about a little bit briefly, but do you think it's a kind of a, I guess the way I put it, and I'd like to ask you what you think about this. The five, I said I'd be surprised if they aren't on the team as of right now, Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel Moore. Is there room for someone to crack that?
I think only Tyrell Shavers. He had a really nice catch in week two of OTAs. And I think they like what they see from him. And he's just a grinder. He's a guy that puts his nose down. I don't think you'll ever hear him complain. He's just someone who does his job. So I would give him an outside chance. Obviously, Caden Prather, the rookie, has a nice skill set, but a seventh rounder, I think he's probably more set for the practice squad. I think those five, as you mentioned, probably pretty safe, although who knows? Laviska Shenault, he's also made a few plays during practices and maybe some special teams capability there. So I would see it as those five as well, but maybe an outside chance of Shavers and Laviska Shenault. I just don't see a Jalen Virgil, a KJ Hamler, or anybody like that making a surprise run at a position. I think you bring in Joshua Palmer, Keon Coleman in his second year, Samuel, I think they're excited what he can offer being healthy. And then just watching Elijah Moore out there, he is just a fluid athlete. He almost looks different than every other Bills receiver. I guess I could compare him to Curtis Samuel somewhat, but just the way he gets through his breaks, the way he creates his speed downfield, it's very impressive to watch. And Tre'Davious White, unprompted the other day, said Elijah Moore is going to be a big-time player for us. So I think the players in that locker room are expecting Elijah Moore to do a lot, and I think fans are as well.
No Josh Allen at OTAs. He got married last week, so at OTAs on Tuesday. We got to see what the offense looked like without him. It was obviously noticeably different. One thing I noticed was just guys not getting rid of the ball quick enough, pass rush getting home. But I tweeted that, and it really prompted an interesting discussion and response from a lot of Bills fans saying that they don't think that the Bills have done a good enough job of addressing backup quarterback. Now, my response to that is I don't know what else you want a team to do. You have to look around the league. Backup quarterbacks just don't grow on trees. Most teams, as Thad Brown said on this show yesterday, some teams can't find starting quarterbacks, let alone a backup quarterback. But do you think the Bills have done enough behind Josh Allen, or maybe should have been developing or should develop a draft pick here?
Before they brought in Mike White during Mitch Trubisky's injury trouble last year, I can't remember exactly what it was. I want to say it was lower body, but before they brought in Mike White, I probably would have said no. I haven't loved what I've seen from Mitch Trubisky during his time on the field over the past few years. That being said, as Thad mentioned, I mean, it's tough to find starting quarterbacks, let alone a backup quarterback on a team. But I think with Mike White and Mitch Trubisky, I think there's going to be somewhat of a battle for that QB2 spot. I think you save a little bit of money if you part ways with Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, he has that great relationship with Josh Allen, so you have to keep that in mind. But I think Mitch Trubisky and Mike White are two adequate backup quarterbacks. I wouldn't rate them near the top of the league, but I think, although I haven't liked what I've seen from Mitch Trubisky, he's an experienced player. He's a player who was drafted high in the draft and who's been through the rigors of an NFL season, so I don't think anything's going to faze him. And Mike White has put forth some explosive performances throughout his career, so I would even be more excited about him in a backup role, kind of as a Ryan Fitzpatrick light, somebody who can come in and catch lightning in a bottle for this team. I think that's what you would be looking for if Josh Allen were to miss a game or two. So I think that's another camp battle. That'll be a one that probably isn't going to be talked about that much, but that QB2 role, I don't think it's a sure thing that Mitch Trubisky is going to take those reins. I think Mike White has ingratiated himself well, and we'll see what those two have to offer come training camp.
I agree. I also think MLB2 is maybe not even a battle, because I think Joe Andreessen is set to win that job, especially after Bill Inspector is yet out again when we go out to, you know, camp and OTAs the other day, I should say.
Yeah, it's really incredible, right? I feel so bad for some of these players. Their bodies, just the way that they're built. I'm sure he's putting in all the work to keep his body right, and he just cannot stay healthy. These nagging injuries continue to crop up. And when he's been on the field, I think the Bills have been impressed with what Baylen Spector's had to offer. I think he really took himself above some players in the past on the depth chart that people were surprised that he was able to elevate over. So, the injuries have been a struggle for him. And Edifon Ulufosio in his second year, I don't think there's been enough there to think that he could compete for that role. So Joe Andreessen, a good opportunity to fill in as a depth player. And, hey, that preseason game that he had last year, I think that showed that there are some flashes there that you might be able to get a diamond in the rough. So Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, I think three strong linebackers. I've really been impressed with Dorian Williams throughout OTAs. Like I said, it's no pads and physicality is a part of his game. But something I've been impressed with is his ability in coverage. I think he struggled in coverage early in his career, but I think he had a near interception of Josh Allen, I think it was week one. And then this past week, he had a pass defense. So he's looked good in coverage, and the depth is somewhat of a concern, but with Milano and Bernard, someone who, in addition to Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid, I think Bernard has put on a little bit of weight this offseason. So I think with those three and then whatever you can get out of Andreessen, I think that's a good group.
He is a bit thicker than Taylor Rapp, but I always confuse them now because he wears 8 and Rapp wears 9. I go out to OTAs and I'm like, twice or three times now, I've literally confused Taylor Rapp and Terrell Bernard because Bernard switched to 8, number 8.
Right, and they kind of run around the same, too.
Yeah.
They're very, very aggressive, savvy players, read their keys, and yeah, it's certainly confusing with these number changes each and every year. You got, I forget who's number 43 out there now, but every time I look around and see his old number, I'm like, who is that?
Is that Jamarcus Ingram, 40? No, he's 46, 43. Is that Dorian Strong, right, 43?
There you go.
Wearing that, there you go. Yeah, see, I get it. Like, these guys changing numbers. Real quick, before I let you go, the James Cook situation, it's going to be ratcheted up next week. How much, like, what does it mean in the big picture, whether he's there or not there, taking both scenarios next week for you?
I don't think it's a big deal in terms of that locker room and how they view him. I don't think they would be concerned, but I think the fan base, the concerns would start to be ratcheted up. Once you start to miss mandatory sessions, the fines start coming. I think if he misses all three sessions, he can be fined upwards of $94,000. And once training camp comes around, I think that number is $50,000 per day. So I think this is where the rubber meets the road for James Cook, and whether or not we see, is he really going to play hardball, or is he just trying to make a point here this off season? So it hasn't been any concern quite yet because it's all been voluntary and he's had an excuse built in to his absences. But once you start missing the mandatory sessions, especially with a team that's instilled a culture of everybody showing up for everything, I think that's when it will become obvious that James Cook is not happy, and we'll see how it plays out in the future. But I think when it comes down to it, I think at the end of the day, we're going to see James Cook back in Buffalo. He has no leverage in this situation. And if he sits out an entire year, there's no way he gets the money he's looking for. So he has to come back. He has to play. The Bills know that. He knows that. But at the same time, I can kind of understand why a player in his position would want to make this point.
Alex, what do you got going on at Bills Digest and Batavia Daily?
Yeah, all my Bills coverage at thedailynewsonline.com. Each time the Bills have practice, we do observations and maybe some thoughts from the podium. Right here, right now, our podcast is back weekly. You can find that on all your audio platforms as well as YouTube, and I stream it live on Twitter as well. And then Bills Digest pre-training camp issue on July 14th, and really looking forward to training camp. Like I said, I love getting out to Rochester. Park Ave is really my spot. In the summertime, it's a great place. You can walk. There's bars there. There's places to eat. There's a Pittsburgh Dairy on Park Ave as well. So there's a lot of good stuff in Rochester, and I'm looking forward to playing Ravenwood as well, one of the best public golf courses in New York.
Yeah, I got a lot of them out there. All right, buddy. I'll see you very soon. I'll see you tomorrow, I think, right? I should probably see you tomorrow, I guess. And
absolutely.
Then
Bills Media Golf Tournament.
Looking yeah, for sure.
Me, John Acosta, Dom Tibbetts, and Xavier Jefferson going for the title.
Oh. All right. That's it. That is throwing down the hammer. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, thanks a lot for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, you got it. That is Alex Brasky. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex Brasky. Very, very simple. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. Touch on last night. What happened? NHL Stanley Cup Finals began, but also quickly then moved to getting Gene Battaglia here in his own studios and the Fan Rochester. That's where I am today, and our Odyssey Rochester studios on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Yeah, that music last night. Oilers take game number one of the Stanley Cup Final. Game number two will be tomorrow night back in Edmonton. So the Oilers, they have home ice. They take game one. Draisaitl opens the scoring early, ends the scoring late overtime. So bookends by Leon Draisaitl. And this should be a fantastic series. This one went back and forth last night. I did not watch the winning goal until I got up today because it was late, and I'm like, man, I'd like to watch it. In fact, I kind of was going to bed. Rating was 3-2. Checked in. I said, well, let me just check real quick. Bam. Saw that the Oilers had tied it up. I'm like, all right. I really debated just turning it on. I'm like, but if I do that, if I turn this on, I'll be here all night. It could be like a marathon OT. Who knows? So I made the decision not even to watch OT. Got up. And I'm kind of glad I did because it went late into OT last night. Oilers won it 1-0. Tonight, the NBA Finals start. It's Indiana at Oklahoma City. The Pacers at the Thunder tonight. At 11:30 today, we're going to have Alexa Ross join us. She is out in Indianapolis, works for CBS TV out there at Indianapolis, formerly here in Rochester covering the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk with Alexa at 11:30. In the meantime, coming up just after this timeout, in his own studio, Gene Battaglia is going to join me from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, 95.7 The Fan in Rochester. I'm in their studios today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for letting me crash today here in Rochester. Back after this timeout on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Here's McDavid. Out for Nugent Hopkins. Now to the point, Bouchard. Nugent Hopkins with it. Here's McDavid.
Special night last night for the Edmonton Oilers. Special day today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The Oilers trying to be the first Canadian team to bring the Puck Cup back to Canada since 1993. And the Montreal Canadiens, when they won it back in 1993. And they're one game in and three games away from doing that after last year, of course, losing the first three, winning the next three, and then losing in Florida. Special day today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show because I am in our Odyssey Rochester Studios, beautiful building here on Commercial Street, 95.7 The Fan. It's where you can find Danger and Battaglia, the sports bar, and Gene Battaglia joins me in his own studio right now. So
I'm a guest in my own studio.
You are,
Sal, welcome, buddy.
Thanks for letting me crash.
It's always good to have you in town.
I love coming up here. I really do. It is not a hard drive. It's about a little over an hour, less than an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 15, hour and 20 from my house. And it's a great drive during training camp. When I have to come up in the morning and I just leave my house at like maybe 7 o'clock. It's a nice drive in the morning coming through Rochester. I love it. Easy drive, not a bad drive, just far enough to get away, just close enough you're still back home.
Yeah. And for us, when we go to a Sabres game or a Bills game, we get those major league treats right around the corner. So it works out well there. So, and we got a lot of golf. You're not golfing here today, though.
No, I'm not golfing today. I have business today in Rochester. I will golf during training camp, though. That is the time I try to get out during training camp, and I'm sure I'll do a little bit more. It is, we've said this many, many years, and we all know it. Rochester just has some of the best courses, not only in the state, but in the country, in this little area. It's incredible.
It's got a great history,
yeah.
Led by Oak Hill, and you know, hopefully we get another major, sounding pretty positive.
Yeah, what is the latest on that?
So your guy, Brian Koziel, has been on top of this. He had the head of the PGA on his show 2 weeks ago, and what he said was he was coming to our town here in June to review the clubhouse modifications, the improvements, and tells me, okay. Like, you're saying nice things about Rochester, you're coming out here, tells me we're on the verge of actually getting this back. It's been a pattern, Sal, where 2003 it came, 2013, 2023, the next one that's open is 2033. So even though, like, the PGA of the four majors probably checking in number four, I think we would sign up for that in a second to get another PGA championship.
Any chance for a U.S. Open, you think?
Not so much. I think you really have to, there's great competition for there. So
sure.
I think, and if that's going to be the case, you'd have to kind of push it out even further. So
Hard Knocks is coming to training camp this year.
Yeah.
They're going to be here in Rochester. Let's talk about off the field. What would be cool for Hard Knocks to highlight and be around and do here in Rochester if they wanted to? You've watched Hard Knocks at HBO. They follow these guys outside the dorms or their families, their lives, and we don't know what they're going to show. What do you think they should try to highlight and show out here?
Yeah, I'd be fascinated because where do these guys actually go? And whenever they go into a restaurant, you hear about it or wherever. But gosh, where we're located right now, Sal, we actually have a waterfall that goes down the middle of right in downtown. It's the way they laid it out, not great, but it's there and the brewery is there. I don't think they would do that, but that would be something that would be cool. Pittsford, I would think, would be the place, right on the Erie Canal, right in the Village with all the shopping there, going over to the dairy that gets all that pub. I mean, there are some spots there. And certainly, to bring it back to golf, I'm just wondering if Oak Hill will be fine with the cameras going over there, because I'm guessing that maybe somebody from the organization might want to get over there in the afternoon.
Sure. And look, I think because Josh Allen does play golf and he's been in these pro-ams, and Brandon Bean's obviously a golfer. Brandon Bean's in the Canadian pro-am, I believe, going on today or yesterday. He's actually up there playing. Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt if they actually have that as part of the show. Like, when the players get away, you have Liv Schreiber, his voice comes on when the players get away. And you can see it. You can just hear. You can hear the golf without seeing it. You hear the golf ball hit, and then the camera pans, and there's Josh Allen or Brandon Bean watching and seeing the ball hit, right? I mean, I could see something like that happen for sure. And then, of course, it is on the field, right? And they're going to be focusing on these storylines. What is it for you when you get to training camp? I asked my listeners today, is there a position battle that maybe you're most interested in? Like, for you, is there something you're looking at and going, that's a spot that I'm going to be watching closely this year?
I am interested in the defensive backfield.
Yeah.
Because Tre'Davious White is such a big personality, and he's back. And what we're talking about on our show is this, like with Tre'Davious White, to draw to the Joe Flacco comments, draw an analogy. And I don't know if you caught that from a few weeks ago, but Joe Flacco said,
I did.
It's a no-win situation when you're asked, do I want to be a mentor? Well, if you say yes, that doesn't mean, is it coming across that I don't want to compete? For Tre'Davious White, he wants to compete, but he's also a good enough guy that he's going to help Maxwell Harrison. And my early impression, you wouldn't know better than I, like, Harrison seems like he's got a big personality too.
He does. Big meaning like he's fun and playful type of like Trey, a lot like that, right?
Yeah.
And there could be different kinds of big personalities, right? Like Stephon Diggs had a big personality in a different kind of way, maybe. But yeah, he's like that as well. And look, I agree with you. And I said the same thing on WGR the other day, referenced the Joe Flacco comments, which are, you have to be very comfortable in your own skin and what you've accomplished to be able to say, like, hey, look, I'm here for me, but I got to be here for this guy, too. We're all trying to win and accomplish this goal. And Vince Carter was at Bill's camp. He's now a minority owner, investor. He was at Bill's camp last week, OTAs. He talked about this. He said even later in his career, when he had been in the league for 15 to 20 years, he said even the guys like Charles Oakley, who was a veteran, he would lean on these guys and talk to them. And, you have to have that comfortable relationship. And I think Trey is kind of the perfect guy to do that. Then the question is, though, who wins the job? Tre'Davious White, Maxwell Harrison? Because I think that there's going to be a real interesting competition there.
Yeah, and if you go over to the safeties, I don't know who's going to be there with Taylor Rapp. I'm assuming Rapp is going to be back as one of the starters, but is Colt Bishop ready to challenge DeMar Hamlin? And hey, for a national TV audience, hey, DeMar Hamlin, you know his story. Let's get to know him a little bit better. There's going to be a DeMar.
No doubt, right?
Yeah.
DeMar's got to be featured on Hard Knocks in some way, I would think, because of everything that he went through. His name resonates with so many people.
Yeah, and it would actually, if they can tie it in, last year they were doing the CPR, right? There can be some really good things that can come out of that.
No doubt about it. Then you, of course, have the defensive end position. Michael Hoyt is suspended for 6 games. Joey Bosa is now out of training camp. I just had someone tweet me and say they think AJ Epenesa could be the odd man out. I'm not sure about that, but I could see a scenario. I mean, there's not enough room here. You have Landon Jackson, who you drafted, obviously. You still have Greg Rousseau. You still have Javon Solomon in his second year, who I think I was impressed with when he played last year. I was impressed with when I've seen him at camp. His legs are like tree trunks. He's a big athlete. That's an area where I think a lot of focus is going to be on.
Yeah, and for where we are, during the mini camp portion, these guys can't hit. So until we get to actual training camp, it's going to be, it's hard to kind of filter out, okay, how do they all fit in? And certainly I think Joey Bosa is the one where, hey, you may have forgotten that Joey Bosa is actually a Buffalo Bill.
Right.
And I'm hoping, Sal, by the time we get to Fisher, he's going to be back out on the field and we can see some of the things that he could do here, perhaps.
What do you make of the James Cook contract situation from your standpoint here, you know, and I know you're out here, you do cover the team, but interested from your perspective, a little bit more from the outside and the big picture type, how big of a deal is it and how messy can this get? How worried would you be about it?
Well, credit Brandon Bean here and his staff. They really, this would set a precedent, right? You could say Jordan Poyer, but Jordan Poyer at the end of the day was practicing and, yep, you know, and they took care of that. Maybe that's how ultimately this works itself out. I have no problem with James Cook asking for the money. These guys put themselves through so much. He's under contract. So how big a distraction will it be? I guess we're going to learn everything or a lot next week at minicamp, because will he be there? Will he answer questions? What is going to be the position? I'm not sure Brandon Bean is going to get out and talk to people next week about the James Cook storyline. But from a hard knock standpoint, if this is dragging on, and Sal, like, it's hard knocks. When I think of some of the moments, it's the 1 year with the Jets, and you had the Darrell Revis holdout, and they're meeting halfway when they were training at Cortland. I'm hoping for the Bills' sake that we're not seeing this drag out into training camp and you're hearing phone conversations, yep, and it gets kind of... James Cook, to me, it works because there's two perfect complementary pieces in that running back room. Like Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, they each have their role, and I don't want to upset that apple cart. So, ideally, if he becomes like a free agent after this season, but you know what, go ball out. Is anybody going to be upset about that?
There are some fans, but I agree. I think the Bills' approach is, look, I mean, we're not paying. I know it sounds weird because Joe Shane got vilified for everything that happened on Hard Knocks last year, but his quote resonates, which is, you're not paying the quarterback $40 million a year to hand it off, right? And James Cook is a part of this machine and this cog and this wheel that you have Josh Allen as the quarterback. $15 million a year, only three running backs make that, Gene. And as much as I agree with you, hey, shoot for the stars if you're the guy, I absolutely respect the Bills' position that we cannot pay you that kind of money.
And I respect James Cook for asking for it. If the answer is no, all right, well, then go ball out and earn it. Go ball out and earn it. I think the happy compromise would be, and I heard Jeremy, yes, I listen to
there
you guys
go
all the time. I heard Jeremy talking about it on a show this morning that, look, I mean, the Bills, it's a hostile move, in my opinion, the franchise thing. That's why you don't see the Bills use this. And that would be fair to James. Like, look, we're not gonna do that to you. We want you here. We're going to make you an offer in 2026, but we're not going to use the tag. I mean, Brandon B could do that, but I don't see him doing that.
Yeah, and I agree. Players don't like it. You don't want to go down that road. Sometimes you use it to buy yourself time and say, look, we're going to tag you because we're going to work this out while you're under the tag. The problem with that is the minute you tag the guy, you count $13 million, in this case, maybe 13 to 14 next year, on the cap. You can't use it. You're tied up with that money, right? It's not like signing a guy like Benford to an extension now where you can plan out and say, how much do we want to put in the cap now, next year? This is, okay, if you're going to do it, you got to count all that money up front. And that's tough to do.
Yeah. Conversely, where James Cook, if he doesn't get the answer that he wants, if I was giving him advice, his agent advice, look, ball out. What does the holdout in the end really prove for you? You got to call us up. You know, guys, like, I think of the Le'Veon Bell when he came back, there was a soft tissue injury. Like, I don't want to see anything. Training camp is important for these guys. No, you don't need to run them in a preseason game, but you need to get the work in to make sure you're ready week one. So I'm hoping that it doesn't go down that path. And even like a hold in, I'm here, but I'm not practicing. No, no, no. Yeah. I would want you to be out there with the guys. Get the work in so that you're healthy and ready to go week one.
Gene Battaglia joining me here from his own studio here in our Rochester Odyssey Studios in Rochester, 95.7 The Fan. He is the host with Mike Danger from the Sports Bar here in Rochester. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Rochester sports relating to Buffalo sports. The Amerks, they have a nice little run, but they ultimately don't get to the final, losing to Laval. Devin Levi was a big story throughout the year, how well he played, but then not quite the same type of playoff. What did you make from his season overall?
Wow. I the regular season was just fine, and then in the win over Syracuse, lights out. And then there's 13 days off in between. So you hate to make excuses, but you can't say that's not a factor, especially when there's a five-game series on the back end and you lose game one at here and it's a wonky format anyways, where you're playing two and then you got to play three up in Laval.
Yeah.
So the Laval series fell short for Devin Levi. Devin Levi at the American Hockey League level has nothing left to prove. Is he ready for the NHL? I can't answer that. But like, if he starts off in Rochester, we're just going to be like, okay, it's only a matter of time. You can't keep him here forever. So I put it out a few weeks ago, like, hey, enjoy him, Buffalo. Like, he's ready to go up. Now, whether he's going to be lights out for you guys, I don't know, because it's a little inconsistent. But there were other issues with the Amex. Laval was a good team. They just got swept.
On Levi, real quick, this is an interesting point you bring up, because when we have the discussion in Buffalo, it's, okay, I don't know if he can, like, he needs time to play. And if he comes to Buffalo, he's probably the backups. You're not getting enough time to play. So send him back to Rochester so he can play. From your perspective, watch him in Rochester, you're like, but he's not, there's nothing left for him to do here, right? So it's a tough needle to thread, Gene. It really is.
Yeah, and maybe the answer is he starts out here like, okay, what are we doing? Go up to Buffalo. I think the Sabres caught a corner with UPL. They really did. I thought he should have been back here the 1 year for the playoffs. He had Malcolm Subban. The Amerks end up making it to the conference final. They lose to Hershey. But why wasn't UPL getting that experience back then? We were told, well, because he's earned the right as an NHL player. Well, I don't know. Like, they sent Yuri Kulik back, and Yuri Kulik, gosh, he's not an American League hockey player. He's like playing up with Tage Thompson. But you know what? That's better. And I commend Lindy Ruff for saying go to Rochester rather than playing this other tournament.
It's interesting. Do you have any other players for the Americans that you think could crack the Sabres lineup next year? Maybe independent of what the lineup actually looks like, but just from what you saw and how they played. You've watched a lot of AHL hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Who's stood out as, okay, that guy, he's better than here?
Isak Rosén is one of those five first-round picks.
Yep.
Now, he's somebody who is going to be in Buffalo, but when it comes to the September camp, keep an eye on him. He would be like the next guy up, but I can't tell you definitively this is going to be the guy that is going to make his way up. I'd say Konsta Hellenius was very impressive second half of the season as he started to figure things out, but he's still young, Sal. Like, let him at least get the 20.
Tell me about him. Tell our listeners about him. We didn't know much about him.
Well,
this year.
He first-round pick of Buffalo, yep. But you know, like when it came to like the physical play, getting into the corners, it's just a different ice size. And you're playing with grown men, so like the physicality. But he started sticking his nose in there and started figuring it out. And the one thing that Mike Leone, the head coach of the Amerks, always preaches to these guys, and it's something you kind of they're taught like at a basic level, but play away from the puck. You know, how is it? You know, what do you think the game through? Get back on defense. Do all those little things. So Hellenius is some guy that I don't think is ticketed for 2026, but somebody that I'm like, okay, at some point, that's a guy that's going to help the Buffalo Sabres.
Gene Battaglia joining us here from the sports bar Danger and Battaglia in Rochester. And then you have, outside of the Amerks, you have some interesting basketball players. Isaiah Stewart, and now, of course,
Thomas Bryant.
Thomas Bryant, breaking
my heart, Sal.
Why?
I love the Knicks.
You're a Knicks fan.
Oh, gosh.
That's a separate conversation we'll get to. But how cool is it to see Thomas Bryant back in the finals?
It is. It's great. He's from Kearney. We have Jalen Pickett, who is now with Denver. And the cool thing about Jalen Pickett is just a neat story. St. John Fisher's basketball coach, Mike Grossadoni, we asked him, like, because he was his head coach at Aquinas. And so Mike leaves Aquinas. Jalen Pickett goes to Penn State. Now he's in the NBA, big part of that Denver Nuggets team. Like, hey, how often do you get to see Jalen? Well, Jalen gave me his NBA League Pass passcode, so he watches him every night. Like, that's really cool that he has those Rochester roots all the way back, remembering his high school coach, so we can watch him. So the idea that our little metro has produced this NBA talent.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. So do I have a rooting interest in this? When you're going to have Lex on, be like, yeah, Thomas Bryant, tell me more. I'm going to listen to
Yeah, for sure. Alexa Ross is going to join us. She was out here in Rochester and covered the Bills, and she's now at the CBS affiliate in Indianapolis covering the Pacers and all things Indiana, Indianapolis. All right, so you just told me you're a Knicks fan. I didn't realize that. I'm glad you said that, because obviously the bombshell of Tom Thibodeau getting fired a couple of days ago, and we immediately in Buffalo had a lot of people say, wait a minute, this is very similar to Sean McDermott, yet he's still in his job. He took this team, created this culture, got this team back to where they needed to be, but hit a ceiling, and the Knicks said, okay, that's enough. We need somebody else. Whereas the Bills haven't done that. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
No. Not at all. It's two different stories. From the standpoint that you didn't win a championship, but I guess that's the end. Let's push the Bills and McDermott aside. Who are this with the Knicks? Nobody has definitively said. You have Chris Russo who's saying it was Leon Rose. You have Mike Francesa who's saying it was Charles Dolan, or vice versa, actually. Nobody seems to know. If I had to theorize, you don't make that move without running it past the owner. So the idea that Thibodeau is out, what was it? Well, you don't make this move, Sal, unless you already have somebody lined up, right? Nobody was saying anything that he was in danger. That was shocking to me.
See, basketball, in this regard, and I agree with you, I understand the parallels, but I don't think it's a fair comparison because it's a totally different sport. A lot of times, the star players control what happens at that position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know behind the scenes what Jalen Brunson was saying or Kat was saying and what they feel about Tom Thibodeau, because if they feel we got to move on, generally in basketball, that's what happens. Doug Collins was Michael Jordan's first coach. Did not work because Michael Jordan didn't really want Doug Collins as his coach. Allen Iverson went through that with a couple of coaches over the years. This is what happens in the NBA.
Yeah, Jackson, coach of the Warriors, you're out. Kerr takes over. They win championships. So who is that next guy? Okay, is it the assistant in Cleveland? Patino says, no, I don't want it. I don't know, but nobody seems to know the story, which makes it really interesting. The fact that was this, I didn't get the sense, though, this was the players going to management. Maybe that would be the case. Now, if you're not familiar with Knicks basketball, Thibodeau plays his bench like none other. It's like,
Do you hear the line? Who was it? Kenny Smith. Oh, my God. Kenny Smith had the best line. He said, Tom Thibodeau would not play 9 players in a baseball game. It was a great line. It was a great line.
And I don't think that's the reason why they lost the
Pacers. No, but it's so funny, right? It's so funny. What do you like? We wrap up here. We've got to get Alexa Ross on in a little while. Who do you like in this series for the title, Pacers, Thunder?
I think the Thunder are just so good. They're going to say, hello, America. Here we are. So I think we look back 5-10 years from now. Right now we're like, Oklahoma City, Indiana. We're going to look back and be like, oh, my gosh, that's where it all began. And, like, the Thunder will become more of these household names if they keep the band together. I just always look at Vegas. If they make Oklahoma City a 9.5-point favorite tonight, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, you would take Indiana and the points all day. And, like, no, that's what they want you to do.
They're like minus 720 on the money line.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, they're a huge favorite.
Yeah, and I'm not pulling for one other team, but I'm going to be tuning in. So.
I'm going to pull for the Pacers only because I remember, as you do, I'm sure, Indiana Pacer basketball in the 90s, not getting there, always getting close. Reggie Miller, Rick Smits, they had these guys. They just were right there. And they want. And it's a great basketball. I know. Great basketball state, right?
Yeah.
And it's Oklahoma City. I don't dislike them at all. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a really great player, obviously, so should be interesting. Oilers win last night, game one. Do you think they finally bring the cup back to Canada?
I would love to see that, right? And you would love to see it for a guy like Jeff Skinner. He would be the next former Sabre to hoist the cup after he didn't even make the playoffs for all those years. I'm just like
everybody. We'd love to see it for Zach Hyman. He's a Bills fan. Noted Bills fan, Hyman. And he's not playing because he's got the injury, obviously.
Yeah, but if you're just, give me a good game. Sal, what did you ask for last night?
I know, for sure.
Fantastic.
For sure, no doubt. All right, tell everybody about listening in here from your own studios, which you allowed me to crash.
Yeah, thanks, Sal. 95.7 FM, which is in the free-to-download Odyssey.
There you go.
3 to 6 every afternoon. So Danger and I, we talk a lot of Buffalo Bills and certainly Rochester sports.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, of course, we always want you to listen to Shope and the Bulldog, but when you're bumping around New York State and you're in the Western New York area, you got WGR, you head over to the Rochester area and you got 95.7 The Fan.
Do you know Shope got a start here in Rochester?
I do.
Yeah.
Mike Shope worked in Rochester Radio.
He was Rochester Radio.
He's a Fisher guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And he worked, it wasn't Bill's Digest. Yeah, I think he did print too.
Yeah. Yeah. He was with Shout for a while.
Oh, he was Shout. Yeah, that's right. Because Shout at the time
became Bill's Digest.
Which I just had Alex Brasky on a little while ago. And now we're going to have Alexa Ross on in a little while. We're having this Rochester theme today. So
you
I appreciate
should come back next time. Like, we'll figure out some golf for you.
Yeah, yeah. Next time I come, we will play golf. I can't today, but I appreciate you're so gracious. You really helped me get this going to make sure this was done right today. And Derek, the engineer, was so great at working with our engineers in Buffalo to make sure that we're doing this right today. So thank you very much, Gene. I appreciate it.
Sal, anytime, buddy.
Okay, you got it. Gene Battaglia right there. Alexa Ross joining me next from CBS in Indianapolis. She used to cover the Bills in Rochester. Now she's covering the Pacers and all things Indiana sports.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, the NBA Finals beginning tonight. Oklahoma City Thunder, a very, very heavy favorite over the Indiana Pacers. Love the Pacers story, though. I'm actually hoping they do it. I'm rooting for the Pacers, not expecting it, but rooting for them. As I know, everybody in the great state of Indiana is, and that's where Alexa Ross joins us from. She is a sports reporter at CBS4 in Indy, formerly here in Buffalo/Rochester, actually covering the Buffalo Bills. Always love reaching out to her about Indiana sports, and now is as good a time as any. I know it's hectic for you, Alexa, so I really appreciate you making the time for us today on WGR.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, let's talk some June basketball.
I love it. What is the vibe? What's the vibe in Indianapolis right now?
Well, let me tell you a quick little story about something that went down yesterday. The Pacers decided they wanted to do a giveaway to fans where they gave away a poster and a rally towel and T-shirts and, you know, just like a really nice gesture for the organization to do, right? They wanted to do a nice little drive up. You got your bag. You keep it going. What you need to know, for those who have not been to Indianapolis, because I know about maybe four people in Buffalo have been, the arena, Gabriel Fieldhouse, is directly downtown. And not only is it directly downtown, it's a couple blocks away from Eli Lilly, which is a major, massive pharmaceutical company. They decided to plan this from 4 to 7 p.m., in which people were lining up very early, as you would do for something fun like this. The entire downtown city of Indianapolis was in gridlock for about 2.5 hours. This also happens to be right next to my gym. So I could not leave my gym. I walked home from my gym.
Well, that's a good work. Yeah. Hey, you got an extra workout in, I guess.
Which would have been cool if it wasn't 1,000 degrees yesterday and 90% humidity. But that being said, all this to say that there is so much excitement here in this city to be back in the finals. It's their second appearance in history. The last time they did this was back in 2000. A lot of similarities. They beat the Knicks in six to get there, which is why game six back on Saturday night was so exciting. You know, you have Reggie in the building for it as well. He presents the trophy for the conference finals MVP, who was Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam, a guy who was taken in from Toronto to be able to continue that championship pedigree as somebody who's already won a ring. Because there are very few. You have Pascal, you have Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant, who played at Indiana University before a Rochester guy himself, before getting him to the Wizards and bouncing around to the Heat and before ultimately winning that ring in Denver. He didn't think he'd play basketball again. And he was given the chance to play professional basketball again, and he's made the most of every single opportunity. So this is a group of guys who are underdogs, and I know Buffalo loves an underdog. Whether you can still call the Bills underdogs is not a conversation for this show, but to have a group of every guy on this roster be told you're too small, you couldn't make it work in your previous franchise, anything of the sort, have the entire NBA rate you, say you are overrated in an anonymous poll. There's been a lot of conversation of, quote, overrate that. And I think that it's really been a fun, it's been a fun ride to follow. That's for sure.
8 years for Thomas Bryant, a career reliable backup, really never been a true starter for most of his career, including this year in Indianapolis. What can you tell us about Thomas Bryant and how he's fit in with this team?
I think the biggest thing about what Thomas Bryant has been able to do in not just the post is, I mean, he's an excellent post player. You don't have to say much about that, but the way that he's able to come in and kind of be the chameleon you would want him to be off the bench, he can shoot threes. If you look at his stat lines, they might not be the most impressive at the end of a game. But the thing about Thomas is that he has defensive sequences that are so crucial to ensuring that the ball stays on his team's end of the floor. Offensively, I mean, he had 9 points up until a certain point. I don't remember if this was the final stat line, but he had 9 points. Those were three threes in game six at a certain point. And when you have a team that can't defend the perimeter the way that OKC really does not, that's going to be huge. Those are series making and series breaking moments. So they love the high pick and roll. You know, as long as they can keep turnovers low and hit threes, this young team has the ability to beat another very young team. And that says nothing about what SGA is able to do on the floor for Oklahoma City.
How good is Tyrese Halliburton? Like, if you had to tell, like, you could do that now here in Buffalo, right? You're on the air here. But people who might not know really much about him because they see SGA, they have all these bigger names, but here's this guy who's just seems like he's terrific in the clutch. How would you describe him to allow people to understand how good he is?
I mean, the clutch is one of the best ways to clutch is a really great way to describe him. I mean, very few people A, have the confidence, B, the you can call it confidence, you can call it nerve, you can call it whatever the heck you want, but to go into the Garden, make a last second shot and make the same iconic celebration move to point at the original person who did that celebration. I don't know. That's a special kind of player. You don't find guys like that every day who have the wherewithal and the ability. But I really do think he had a fire lit under him when everyone was saying, oh, yep, that's the most overrated player in the league. He's that guy. He is that guy. But I think, too, he had to rebuild himself after being moved from Sacramento. It's a place when he got traded from the Kings, where he thought he'd play his entire basketball career, he had to start over, and he had to start over and prove it. And when you have to prove it the way he has to be this yeah, let this team flow through me. Let me be the point guard with confidence to get this done, and to also take the accountability and put it on his shoulders, because he has had slumps. I mean, there have been slumps that he has had, and the person he credits of talking him out of those slumps is Pascal Siakam, a guy who brings a ring to Jurassic Park. You know, this is a team of guys who really, really care about each other, and everybody loves to, you know, make the power of friendship joke, but the power of friendship is alive and well in this locker room. These are guys who really care about each other. And you also have a coach who has been the underdog in the situation. You look at what Rick Carlisle did in 2011 against the Heat, and not just the Heat, like the big three Heat. So this is not a team that wants to go down quietly, and it's certainly not led by the floor is not being run by a guy who's going to speak quietly.
The Pacers are very big underdogs in this series. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they're picking the Thunder in five games, maybe six at the most. What does it look like if the Pacers are to pull the upset? How do they do that?
Like I said, they need to continue to stay true to the pace that they play at. Setting the pace is not just a little fun, quippy tagline. I mean, it's how they get going. If they can be the first people out, they can be determining the pace that this game is played while keeping turnovers low and hitting threes. That's going to be the difference maker. Both the Pacers and the Thunder have relied on turnovers to create offense more than any other team in these playoffs. And they've managed to keep their opponents from scoring off of those giveaways. I believe that the Thunder and the Pacers rank 1 and 2 respectively in points off turnovers, and ranking flips in terms of their opponent in points off of turnovers. So the Thunder are really going to try to slow the Pacers down, but the Pacers have to keep pushing it, because that's exactly what happened with the Knicks, which made this such a difficult series for them.
Pacers and Thunder get rolling tonight. Alexa Ross joining us from Indianapolis. All right, before I let you go, of course, want to touch on the Colts a little bit here. What are the expectations after last year? Maybe I would say disappointment, falling a little bit short. I know injuries as well with Anthony Richardson and the quarterback position. Now Daniel Jones joining him in Indianapolis as well. What's the expectation there from Colts fans?
I think that when you have a season like you did last year, and then you lose the franchise. I mean, say what you will about Jim Irsay, who he was as an owner, as an outspoken person, as a man. That man cared about football in this city. So I hope and pray this is the year that they can really pull it together in light of a really kind of terrible tragedy in losing their owner. But I think when you have a quarterback competition that is not going to be the Anthony Richardson versus Gardner Minshew competition, guys who do not play the same kind of ball, Daniel Jones has proven to be significantly more athletic. He's significantly bigger. And he's a guy who also is really trying to find that fresh shake. You don't bring somebody in like that. And competition breeds success. I'm not the first person to say that, nor will I be the last person to say that here on WCR.
Yeah.
But I do think that having that in, and also having receivers and offensive weapons who are dedicated to ensuring that they're giving their best to both guys, because they know that that's what's at stake, is going to be the difference maker. And I'm really interested to see what we get in camp. We have mini camp on Tuesday. So I can definitely give you a better analysis of that then. But right now we are all in for blue and gold basketball right now, because I don't know if you've heard this before, Sal, in 49 states, it's just basketball, but this is Indiana. And they are absolutely not going to let another small market team be the small market champion of the National Basketball Association.
I mean, I do think it's a big L for anyone who thought that the NBA was rigged for the big markets. I mean, yeah, Indiana and Oklahoma City, right? I mean, come on. So, you know, you can't really go down that road. So I love it. I love it for that particular reason. Hey, because it is such a great basketball city, what was it like following and covering Caitlin Clark, her first year in the WNBA?
Excellent. It's so much fun. I mean, I think that when you have people of all ages, races, religions, outward appearances, gender, sexual orientations, wearing the 22 on a jersey or a jersey, I see little boys wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys, and that mm-hmm. fills my heart with just the most joy. You could be wearing a Tyrese Halliburton zero jersey. You're wearing Caitlin Clark. And I think that continues to show that there is a shift in the way we respect the game, the way we respect the women's game, the expansion that is upcoming. I don't know if you guys have heard of the Sports Bra in Portland, which is a bar that's dedicated to showing exclusively women's sports. They're expanding to 4 new cities, and Indianapolis is one of them. And that makes my women's sports loving heart so big and so full, but you know, it was incredible. The Fever in a little bit of a slump without her dealing with a quad injury, but it's better to deal with that now than when it really matters come late summer, early fall.
Enjoy the finals. What's the schedule like today for you? What do you do there? What do you got going on TV or covering, and how's it look for you guys?
Yes. So one of my bosses and a videographer are currently in Oklahoma City. They got there yesterday. They've been mm-hmm. following along the media day coverage, all that fun stuff. Today we lock in, and I will be one of two in-house making sure the highlights are done and we're ready to talk ball on air, because I think this is one of the purest ways basketball has been played in the NBA in a long time between both of these teams. And I think that if you care about the sport, it's going to be a really fun series to watch.
No doubt about it, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun with it. Alexa, thank you so much. I know you're busy today. We really appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll catch up down the road, whether it's about this or maybe, you know, Eagles, Bills, Christmas weekend. We could talk about that too, you know?
We'll talk about that. I can't even begin to think about football season right now. We are still in the
I love it.
Rose of basketball season.
I love it. I love it. All right. We'll catch up down the road. Thanks a lot again.
Thanks so much for having me, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Alexa Ross. I love it. She's like, I don't care about football right now. She's got to cover the Colts. She grew up in Philly, near Philly, so I know she follows the Eagles. That's why I said that. But a big game tonight, obviously. Pacers, Thunder, tonight. That's when it all starts. It is the first game of the NBA Finals, and that starts at 8:30. That's 8:30 p.m. tip-off tonight. Thunder favored by 9.5. We will take a timeout. We'll come back here a very short segment before we head out to Sabres Live at the top of the hour on WGR. Yesterday, I tweeted out, I said, hey, call your double shot. At Sal Sports, by the way, on Twitter. Check me out there. X, whatever you want to call it. Had 73 actual replies. How many people actually quote tweeted? Let's see. View some quote tweets here. We have 1, 2, 3. Okay, so just 3 of those. That's okay. 76 total then. Trying to get the exact amount. I'd like to get up to 100 responses. Let's see if we can get 100 responses on the who wins the Stanley Cup and in how many games. You already have a cheat code there because you got one game down. The Oilers won. And who wins the NBA Finals in how many games? My prediction was Thunder in 6 and Oilers in 6. I just went for 6 and 6. So I didn't tweet it out, but that's my prediction. And yeah, I do think the Oilers can win it, but I think that will be a very good series. Wouldn't be surprised if it goes 7 games. It did last year. And then in the NBA, I'm actually rooting for the Pacers. It would be great. I could sit here and go, I think the Pacers will pull the upset, and I would sound smart if they did, but I mean, it is a tough, tough road for them against the Thunder. So check it out at Sal Sports yesterday. Call your double shot. Who will win the Stanley Cup and in how many games? Who will win the NBA Finals and in how many games? All right, so want to throw out a couple thank yous here. The engineers here at the great Rochester Odyssey Studios, Derek, the engineer's name, did a great job of getting me set up back at the with WGR and hook him up with them. And our engineers, Tom, Maddie, and Al Moranka back in Buffalo, WGR, thank you so much. Thank you very much to Gene Battaglia. He joined me on the show. Mike Danger and Gene Battaglia, they host the Sports Bar from right here, 95.7 The Fan in Rochester. Thank you so much to Rochester Odyssey, Odyssey Rochester, for having me and allowing me, I should say, to crash the studios today. We'll do it again sometime. And, of course, Alexa Ross and Alex Brasky for joining me. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.